T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Joining us is Senator Pat Toomey, his monthly visit here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Senator, welcome in. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Dom. Thanks for having me.
Well, what is the, I'm sure you're riveted to this part two in the judiciary. We haven't talked in a while. What is it in the Senate that people are looking at, in your view, right now, since a lot of us think they will impeach and it will come to you for a trial?
Well, honestly, Dom, I think most people think that the entire conclusion of this is already known, right? I mean,
right.
It looks very likely that, barring a big move in public sentiment, the House will adopt some set of articles of impeachment. But I think that's an important caveat. The public support for impeachment has been diminishing modestly. If that continues or accelerates, then, boy, that's a tough position for the Democrats who are in the districts that President Trump carried. But I would think that's a relatively small probability outcome that the House fails to pass articles of impeachment. I think they're going to do it. I think it's coming over here. And, you know, I've been candid about this, Dom. I feel like if that happens, I will have an obligation to sit through a trial as a juror and listen to the arguments on both sides. But I can tell you, from what we have seen and from what is in the public realm and from what I know, I am not aware of an event or circumstance that I think rises to the level of an impeachable offense. So, and I think that's where the vast majority of my Republican colleagues are. So I do not see any scenario at this point in which, you know, the president is removed from office. The idea that we're going to get 67 votes in the Senate is extremely implausible to me.
Particularly wherever the American people might now, they haven't been compelled. This isn't like the Clinton era or Watergate, certainly. It's not like Watergate. I remember that. You weren't in office during the Clinton debacle, were you?
No, I was elected to the House in 1998, after the House had passed articles of impeachment,
right,
before the trial began in the Senate, but I was in the House, so I had no role in it.
Now, even there, Senator, and again, I agree with you, your analysis is what's going to happen. Even though Bill Clinton, the major thing there, we know, lied under oath, maybe repeatedly in court. So that's right there is pretty blatant. This did not sit well, ultimately, for Republicans, I think. Politically, I'm talking about, is a fair reading. Would you agree that's what happened?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the American public, they knew then, as they know today, that Bill Clinton committed the crime of perjury. There's no mystery about that. That's clear. They know that he engaged in illegal witness tampering. He was disbarred. I mean, this is right. This is not like my theory on this. This is very easily and well documented. But the reason that he was not convicted in the Senate is not because he did not do those things, but because senators came to the conclusion that I think the American public had come to, that while these were things that the President Clinton should not have done, they did not rise to the level of an impeachable offense. And I think that's why the pursuit of the impeachment went badly in terms of the political repercussions for Republicans.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to me, this is not nearly as direct
form.
There is nothing direct.
There's no crime here.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, the impeachment is supposed to be reserved for high crimes and misdemeanors. And as you know, in the use of the language at the time the Constitution was written, misdemeanors did not refer to minor crimes. It was a category of major crimes. And the founders were very concerned that this power would be abused for political purposes. And if you look at what's happening, I think that's exactly what the House Democrats have done here. You know, I think it's reasonable to question everything about the phone, famous phone call with the president of Ukraine was entirely appropriate. But it is, I don't think you can make the case that a crime was committed. And the idea that a crime that rises to the level of removing the sitting president from office for the first time in the history of the republic, it just strikes me as way beyond the pale. That's where we are.
Yes, and yet we both agree that they're going to do it because their base will demand this, even if it's close. I don't see pulling out and doing censure. But, Senator, for listeners, we're hearing Nancy Pelosi's assistant yesterday. You know, it's not seasonal, Christmas time and all that, to continue this, so we probably don't want to get it done this year. That tells me they're constantly reassessing this or trying to get to a time where there's a favorable window to appeal to these Democrats in swing districts to vote for this. They must know it'll be close.
Well, exactly. So that's what that tells me, is that they're worried they don't have the votes.
Right.
Because I think they want to get this over with as quickly as possible. And the last thing they want to do is stretch this out. This is not helping them, I don't think, in any meaningful way. And stretching it out certainly doesn't help them. The closer you get, the further you get into next year, and the American people already think that whatever you think of President Trump's behavior, the answer is to deal with it on Election Day. We have a political process for holding elected office holders accountable, and I think that's what most people think ought to be done here with President Trump. He should have to stay in office or lose his office, depending on how that election goes. And the closer you get to that date, the more that becomes an imperative. So I don't think that this has anything to do with Christmas spirit, let me assure you.
Sure, absolutely.
Now, I think it has everything to do with whether they think they've got the votes.
If it does go to the Senate, too, the politics there are really difficult because I think Republicans are in charge there, majority, McConnell and you and others, and there will be witnesses that will be called forward that will take us back to the FISA document and everything else. Do you think that's what will happen?
So I think, you know, we've got to think that through, and I think that those decisions have not been made. And frankly, since it is the president himself personally who's on trial, I think he ought to have a lot of say in, you know, what does he want that trial to look like? Does he want it to be a long and drawn out affair with lots of witnesses brought in, or would he rather say, hey, the controversy is the phone call. Here's the facts in the case. We agree on the nature of the phone call. What we disagree is whether or not it's an impeachable offense. Let's have that debate and then vote. Those would be the sort of the two extremes, it seems to me. And I'm not sure that the president has decided. But again, since he is the one who's on trial, I think it should be up to him as to how extensive he wants this, how long, what kind of witnesses, what kind of information he wants to have debated.
Now, it seems to me, too, another tell with Nancy Pelosi, who's cagey on this, Senator Pat Toomey with us, is the USMCA, at least she's giving some political tea leaves and signals of maybe we can come to a point here, because the argument is Democrats are getting nothing done. The Trump people have done a good job, and I know this is a big bailiwick for you, things like this, of making this an issue before the public. I know it's hard, too, even though this is the real guts of what's going to be better for the American worker at some point.
Well, so I'm an outlier, Dom, in that I think the USMCA moves backwards on trade in several important ways, and that's a long conversation. I've conveyed this to the president and his trade reps repeatedly. We just disagree on some of the major changes. So I'm very public about it. I've indicated repeatedly what my concerns are publicly and privately, and how I intend to vote if it comes over as I think it will. What I think Speaker Pelosi's dilemma is, if she puts USMCA on the House floor, it will pass, but it might pass with a very small percentage of Democrat House members voting, because they want to move it even further to the left. So it moves trade negotiations very substantially left of anything we've ever had before, especially on labor provisions. But the left wing of her party is saying that's not good enough, and she is trying to get to a place where enough of them find it acceptable that it can pass with, I don't know that she needs a majority, but a significant number of Democrat House members. And she may not be there yet.
Okay. One other area, too, with that, the Hong Kong bill.
Yeah.
Are you happy with what's happened here with that?
Oh, I think it's very important that we pass this. And frankly, I'd be open to doing more. And I'm in discussion with colleagues about doing more. Look, I think this regime in Beijing, they've taken a very, very, very bad turn in an authoritarian direction. What they are doing internally and externally is very disturbing. You know, their use of technology to monitor their society, the fact that they have taken over 1 million Uyghurs and put them in concentration camps, their crackdown on dissent within their own country, the moving backwards on any kind of democratic principles and principles of free expression, it's all been very bad. They are abrogating their commitment to the people of Hong Kong. And if we just look the other way, then what's next? Further crackdowns on Tibet, maybe they get aggressive towards Taiwan, maybe they decide that the Western Pacific should be their lake and that the free flow of goods that we have ensured and we've benefited from, how much longer does that continue? I think it's important that we push back on what's happening in Hong Kong.
Absolutely. I've been told that, what we're talking about today, best board game ever. What does the Toomey family like? What do you guys play?
Yeah, well, I think it's several, but I think the most popular one these days is Parcheesi.
Parcheesi?
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect that answer. We haven't gotten that one yet, yeah?
You know what's good about it is it's fun for different age groups. I have a 9-year-old son.
Okay.
And he can play Parcheesi as well as anybody in the family. And, it's a little bit harder for a young child to keep up with, like, the kids in their late teens and adults in Monopoly, which is a fun game, but Parcheesi is pretty popular in our house.
Good stuff. Well, Merry Christmas to you and the family, Senator, and thank you.
Thank you
for the work and the stuff that you do every day for Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.